Good morning, church. And a warm welcome to each and every one of you. Each one of you has found your way to this place to be here in this moment as we worship God. I have a few announcements I'd like to make. First of all, you may notice that Andrew Paulson is not here this morning. Andrew's grandfather, Garner Paulson, passed away, and Andrew is, I would imagine, right now on his way flying to Minnesota. So our thoughts will be with Andrew and Rachel and the Paulson family. The choir will be dedicating today's anthem in memory of Garner Paulson. And of course, with us, sitting in for Andrew is Ina Tro. Ina has been here several times, just a magnificent gift to St. John's. So Ina, we welcome you. I want to let you know that the church office will be closed tomorrow, Monday. Our secretary, Lisa Delp, is ill, and she will be returning probably midweek. For those of you who have covenant cards, we are still receiving those, and there is a bowl on the communion table. You can place your card there, or you can place it in the offering plate. And I'm going to ask Mark Bruin to come forward.
Good morning. I just wanted to make everyone aware, right after the church service today, we're going to be having a congregational meeting in the sanctuary. We'll be giving you an update on the search and call and the visioning process. We'll be giving you a financial update. We'll be talking about the communications coordinator position that we're considering for next year, and just some general updates. So please hang around for that right after the service. Then after that, there is a congregational dinner downstairs in the assembly hall. So please stay and join us for lunch too. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Today we celebrate All Saints. Each year, the churches throughout the world remember those who have joined the saints in the previous year, and we are mindful of the saints who have shaped our lives. And so our worship today will be a reminder that we all are living saints. So let us now, people of God, worship.
Thank you. There are aspects of our faith which we experience for ourselves, and there are aspects of our faith that have been handed down to us through the ages in an unbroken line. Each generation is called to make its faith its own in thought, word, and deed. We have also inherited the wisdom, insights, and reliable testimony of our spiritual ancestors, the saints. A great cloud of witnesses has gone before us, instilling hope and giving us a future worth pursuing. We come to worship today, remembering, celebrating, and giving thanks for all those whose flame of faith we now have. Would you join me now in our confession? Tender God of compassion, who among us doesn't want to make a good impression? But if making an impression is all that we're interested in doing, we're in trouble. There is more to life than just veneer. Jesus taught us that what we do on the outside needs to match who we are on the inside. And we must confess that practicing humility is where our heart should be. But humility is hard in the face of trying to get the last word or working up a frenzy to prove we are right. Help us, patient God, learn the wisdom and power of modesty and composure. Move us beyond the superficial pride we sometimes carry when we're feeling insecure or insignificant. Create in us a quiet and dependable strength. Amen. When it comes to missing the mark, drifting away from the good path, and losing sight of our spiritual health, we are not alone. All have sinned, and yet God is right there with us, waiting for us to realize our errors, ready to forgive when we take stock. That is good news. Thanks be to God.
The scripture lesson today is from Matthew chapter 23, verses 1 through 12. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. Therefore, do whatever they teach you and follow it. But do not do as they do, for they do not practice what they teach. They tie up heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on the shoulders of others, but they themselves are unwilling to lift a finger to move them. They do all their deeds to be seen by others, for they make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long. They love to have the place of honor at banquets and the best seats in the synagogues, and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces, and to have people call them rabbi. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all students. And call no one your father on earth, for you have one father, the one in heaven. Nor are you to be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Messiah. The greatest among you will be your servant. All who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted."
And I'm going to invite Izzy up here with her mom, and if there are any other children here, I have some pictures to show you. Sitting down is the hardest part. Well, maybe getting up is harder, I don't know. Okay. So, Izzy, I want to show you this picture. Do you see this picture? This is a teacher. This is a one-room classroom. Do you know what that means? It means everybody, no matter how old they are, were being taught by one teacher. And this teacher was my husband's mother. This was like 70 years ago. That was a long time ago. Now, she doesn't look like that anymore. I have a picture of what she looked like more recently. She looks a lot older in that picture, doesn't she? That's the same lady. See that? Yeah. Now, she died about, I can't remember, 10, 15, I'll have to ask my husband, a while ago. She died a while ago, and he died he died in 2009. So they're both gone now. Yeah, they're gone. And now I have another picture. These are my parents. Okay, that's my mom, and that's my dad. And he died in 2013. He died 10 years ago. He would be 89 if he was still living. This guy over here, he'd be 101. He'd be really old. And my mom is still living. But these three people are all gone now. And do you know what we sometimes call them? Today is All Saints Day. And today, we're going to read the names of people who left us this year. And they're going to join all these other people, like my dad and my mother-in-law and my father-in-law. And look at all these windows up here. Do you see these pictures of these people here? Those are also saints. Those are saints from Jesus' time, from a long time ago. And so the people that we read today are joining my dad, my mom, my mother-in-law and father-in-law, and all of the people in these windows. And so we're really happy that even though they're gone, they're joining a lot of really good people. So when you think about people that maybe you don't see very often or aren't around anymore, think about all the people that they're joining and how happy they are to be together. Okay? Now you want to say a prayer with me? And then we'll do the Lord's Prayer. You ready to pray? Heavenly Father, thank you for the many and wonderful saints that follow Jesus down through the ages. Help us to follow their good examples and to remember what a blessing it is to be in the name of the same family of faith. We ask this in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you for joining me up here today.
That was so beautiful. Thank you, Alan and Ina, and thank you, choir. Andrew would be so proud. And we're so proud. A very moving piece. So appropriate for this All Saints Sunday. Each one of us carries deep within our memories, impressions, and experiences from the past. We can remember at times with great clarity events during our childhood. Some of it wonderful, some of it traumatic. Our families have been, for the most part, the singular most impactful force in our lives. And much of who we are today comes from our family of origin. We ended up, for better and for worse, products of relationships we did not choose, inherited either by birth or adoption or through association. Many of us have had to deal with the unhealthy side of the families, of our families. The things that became part of who we are, things that we may not have immediately known were unhealthy, but were revealed to us later in life. Families have, for generations, passed down emotional habits that as youngsters we developed ways to handle, ways to cope. It may have been in the form of an emotionally angry and abusive parent. It may have taken the form of family members who were emotionally unavailable to you. Come to find out, there are no perfect families, just like there are no perfect people. We like to think we spot dysfunction as an isolated situation that exists within a single person, when in fact, dysfunction is always connected to a larger system which hosts those dysfunctional behaviors. There are the folks who are labeled as the identified patient, the one who expresses on behalf of others in the system the dysfunctional behaviors they act out. And then there are others in the system who enable. They overfunction. They support the unhealthy behaviors. People stay in unhealthy systems not because they are gluttons for pain, but because they can't see a way out. Or they crave certainty and stability, even if it comes with a heavy dose of dysfunction. There are no perfect families. No June and Ward Cleaver, the perfect parent who knew how to perfectly deal with the misadventures of their two sons During that 1960s sitcom, Leave It to Beaver, it looked so perfect. Every family knows dysfunction, though it tends to range in terms of severity. And lots of families and organizations, for that matter, pretend they are just fine, when in fact they spend enormous amounts of energy attempting to hide that fact. Most often it comes in the form of self-deception. Making a fearless inventory of our lives, our organizations, and communities is painful. And the energy involved in avoiding that fearless inventory is great. I'm fine. We're fine. Our standard ways of avoiding the shadows that lurk within us and our churches. If understanding sin, either individual or corporate, is a way of understanding dysfunction, then there is a path into understanding the Christian life. A life of faith acknowledges our brokenness, our dysfunction, our being swept up into the currents of unhealthy powers. And that life of faith, that Christian life, believes there is a power greater than ourselves that can engage those powers, as opposed to believing that you and I can fix them ourselves. Fixing is not healing. Whether you are still seeking God or you feel very close to God, in each case, there is an acknowledgement of a power beyond ourselves who identifies with our pain, our unhealthy paths, our anguish, our struggles. Jesus came to us not with a bunch of gimmicks so we could look good as people and as a church, but because of the broken hearts, the racking pain, the dysfunction we experience, along with the power to heal that pain, our waywardness, and make us whole. I've come to accept that becoming whole is a lifelong process. Once we think we're there, we're not. Which is why Matthew's gospel insists on practicing humility. And it is underscored in today's reading. For Matthew's community, for his faith community, there is an emphasis on egalitarianism and a careful suspicion of clerical offices. Jesus is the master teacher. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the focus. And as a pastor, I am bound to continually point you towards Jesus. point you towards Jesus and away from myself. Which is why I am not a huge fan of clerical trappings, including vestments. I'm not even a fan of this robe. I know it comes with the tradition, but I think it seems to reinforce hierarchy. And I don't think, honestly, that Jesus would necessarily be happy about that. Truth be told, your calling and my calling was sealed at our baptism. Which is why some communities still favor adult baptism, making a conscious choice to follow Jesus. And even faith communities like this one view confirmation as just that, a confirming of that baptism, a confirmation that, yes, I will follow Jesus. This Sunday is All Saints Sunday. And it's a time to reflect on family, friends, and others who have brought shape and wisdom to our journey of Christian faith through the way they modeled their lives. Today, I think of family members and of my childhood church members. Yes, I still remember the members of my church when I was 7 or 8 years old. They helped model part of the faith I carry today. I want to tell you about Mrs. Edith Lane. She was my childhood Sunday school teacher. And she was as authentic and energetic and devoted to our class as any person could ever be. She also brought the gift of singing. And she would bang out tunes from our little hymn book on a 1960s Magnus chord organ. The organ was crude, but the spirit in the room, it lifted everyone. I know it did me. And then there are my grandparents, my father's parents, who as young people were as emotionally and spiritually unhealthy as any couple could ever be. They were the poster children for dysfunction. Early on, they lived a very sordid life. And my father was deeply impacted by that. And at some point, mostly through the influence of a couple, deeply committed Christian neighbors, my grandparents experienced emotional and spiritual health in a way that they had never known, never knew was possible. Didn't know how to find it on their own until they met those neighbors. Today we celebrate saints like that, imperfect people, who until the day they died were never fully perfect people. But they were people who realized and accepted that they were sinners. A profound humility. Yes, they were sinners, but they knew they were loved and cherished by God nonetheless. Like so many others who are found by God, they are now part of the glorious lights we call the saints. And our continued journey with Jesus gives us the opportunity to link with living saints, those whose example make us say to ourselves, I want to be more like them and more like Jesus. And that is good news. Amen. In just a moment, Bill Leslie and Liz Vanderberg will read the name of the saints, those who have passed this past year. All saints began to be recognized in the 4th century. It's a very ancient tradition. And it begins on the 31st of October, All Hallows Eve, and it commences on November 1st, the day that we call All Saints. And so, people of God, hear the names now of the saints.
Richard Bowers, Sr.
Virginia Collins,
Edna J. Decker.
George Dowiak.
Dennis Ellman.
John Grouch.
Linda Horst.
Alan Johnston.
David Livesey.
Edna McGinley.
Mary Lou Schultz.
James Stevenson III.
Jerry Umstead.
Ursula Bingham.
John Allen Bueller.
Paul Cope.
Edward Gary.
Rosa Gilletti.
R. Bruce Hemmerly.
Anna M. Klein.
William Bill Austin Lamp.
Tony Lanzetta.
Ruth Leslie.
Shane R. Morcom.
Laverne Moyer.
Luther Bud Moyer Jr.
Garner Paulson.
Sharon Rowling.
Lee Shoemaker.
Charles James Patrick Snyder.
Stephen Stewart.
Walter Thomas Tom Smith.
Toby Timko.
Matthew Whitehead.
And a final chime for those who were lost but not listed. We do have a couple of joys and concerns to announce today. First, a joy, Danny Hogan celebrated his fourth birthday earlier this week. And also a joy for the marriage of Talia Giampa and Brian Leahy on Saturday. A concern for Don Hunziker. He's having heart valve replacement surgery on Thursday at Doylestown Cardiac Heart Center. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, please bring comfort to Don Hunziker on his surgery and to all who are dealing with concerns today. Please also watch over Danny Hogan, Talia Giampa and Brian Leahy, and all those who are celebrating joys. Give us the wisdom to recognize the scribes and Pharisees that we encounter in the world today. Help us to see through their false humility and self-serving actions so we can avoid being misled by them. Help us to practice what you teach, to love one another, and to follow your path of service to our neighbors. Amen.
Oh.
Well, this year, our stewardship emphasis is on investing in our future. And as you know, we've had folks over the last few weeks come forward to share their story. Why St. John's, why the church, why their commitment is so important. And so this morning, it is my pleasure to welcome Rick Fonciolacci to come forward. Now, Rick is here along with a cast of other characters every Wednesday night for our Wednesday night live service. He's in the kitchen. He's an amazing part of that ministry. So, Rick, welcome.
Thank you, Reverend Dale. And you did a great job with my last name.
Yeah. I've been working on that for weeks.
Good friend. You know, I always wanted to see what the congregation looked like from up here at the podium. It's a great view, thank you. And good morning, everyone. I've been a member for St. John's for about 14 years, and I greatly appreciate the opportunity to share and to best share what St. John's means to me within a couple minutes, and I'll do my best. A brief background of I was born, raised in Chicago, lived there for 40 years. 25 years ago, I moved with my wife to this area and my two girls. The one thing I did, I have drifted away from church at that time for several years, believing that, or convincing myself that I could do it on my own. I could worship God in my own way. But that all changed about 14 years ago. Got the news from my wife and I got the news that she was diagnosed with breast cancer. And it hit me hard, and I didn't really have the support that I needed. I had my immediate family, but I needed something else. And I know that I drove by St. John's hundreds of times on my way to work, never stopped. But this one Sunday, I did stop. And I came into the church, and I was greeted and welcomed by one of the most special persons I've ever met in my life. That was Reverend Sue. I still miss her greatly. But I feel her presence every time I walk into this building. I attended that service that day, and something that changed my thoughts in a very profound way was after the joys and concerns, and I mentioned that my wife was diagnosed with breast cancer. After that service, several people came up to me giving me words of encouragement and offering prayers for my wife. That meant so much to me. I went home that night and I read the welcoming statement of St. John's. And I don't know who wrote that, but it was perfect. That's exactly what I believe the church should be. And from that day on, I was hooked. I was in full. The first few weeks of those services that I attended and the support that I received from St. John's, it moved me so much. And then I'm just so happy to say that after 13 years, my wife has been 13 years cancer-free now. And as Reverend Dale would say, and that is good news. As I look to continue my journey with St. John's, I wanted to share three personal reasons of what I believe sets St. John's apart from the rest. And that's mostly how proud and thankful I am for being a member here. One, I'm proud of our congregation for their support of our local community through volunteer services and through donations. One of them that is very close and dear to my heart is started right here in the basement of St. John's, that's Manna on Main Street. The other thing I'm thankful for is what I believe is the excellent spiritual, musical, and our church council leadership that we have at St. John's. One of the things I know Reverend Dale mentioned this quite a bit is the recent innovations we've done with the Wednesday Night Live, which I'm very much enjoy, And the other thing is moving to one service. Now, I was an 8 o'clock service member for many, many years. But personally, it's meant a lot to have all our congregation together because I've had the opportunity not only to meet, but get to know a lot more of the wonderful people of our St. John's congregation. Lastly, and most importantly, I feel I am blessed to be part of this wonderful people that make up St. John's congregational family, where I've already made many friends, and I look forward to making many more. Thank you.
Rick, thank you so very, very much. And so let us now continue our worship as we present our gifts, tithes, and morning offerings to God. Gracious and loving God, these gifts are the gifts of your people. They come with love. They come with hope. They come trusting that you, Almighty God, ruler of the entire world, will bring peace and wholeness and love and grace to your creation. Bless these gifts and bless our lives as we continue to serve you and the world you so love. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Just one last reminder that our congregational meeting will begin following worship, to be followed by a dinner, and we hope to see you all there. May God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious to you, and may God give you peace today, tomorrow, and forever. Amen.